Hey everybody, welcome to 321 Bake Off. But more importantly, welcome to the Culinary Convo channel. Subscribe, follow, do what you must. But also go to culinaryconvo.com, sign up for our newsletter in the middle of our page underneath all the good media that we've got. But also make sure you check out our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Doesn't matter. We're pretty much everywhere. Just make sure that on the newsletter, you join our Pinterest. We're pumping out the Pinterest recipes on the newsletter, as well as all of our research tidbits that we're coming up with as we go through each one, whether it's United Foods of America, Mapping the Culinary World, or Plate and Time. And then also, just know that we're getting down to the wire here on 321 Bake Off. So I would love to hear any suggestions of another show to recap. You can send it to us at culinaryconvopod@gmail.com. And again, I just want to thank all the listeners out there going through things and listening the episodes. I love to hear any suggestions or anything. And enjoy 321 Bake Off. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 321 Bake Off. And we are here, week six now. Halloween week. What a wonderful time of year. I'm not sure if the Brits really celebrate Halloween. Do they? Do you know?
I think they do, yeah. But it's not as popular as like Easter or Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah, while Americans don't usually emphasize Halloween's Celtic roots, apparently in Britain they do.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can bob for apples, so that's a big one in Britain, which we'll get to that. Telling ghost stories. Halloween is an observance annually celebrated on October 31st, so they do celebrate it. I think in America it became a huge deal because we like to sell stuff.
Mm.
You know, masks, costumes, candy, food, whatever it may be. And plus it's a festive time of year. It's like the first fall thing, right? Halloween week, what was your perception of the tent?
Like what about it? Just...
I mean, what was the vibe? What were you getting from the contestants here?
I feel like things are getting more serious.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's how I felt, too.
You know, it's like not super, super competitive, but definitely more so than it has been.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's because we're like the halfway point or past it. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, no, like you were saying, I think it's got to be, yeah, it's like right there, if not past it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you start out with 11 bakers? Let me see here. I can count how many.
12.
So, yeah, so we're definitely, yeah, we're right at the halfway point after this episode.
Mm-hmm.
For me, same thing. Felt like the tent was a little more tense because you could feel that, like, it was like, I gotta do well mm-hmm. this week. But then on top of that, it could be the ghoulish nature of it, the scary spooktacularness of it. They were trying to not scare too many. A lot of eyeliner this episode.
A lot.
People, they were wearing their costumes, whatever they will be, which I couldn't tell some of them what they were or what they were doing, but it was festive, at least.
I just have to say shout out to Maxie, because she was really the only one that had, like,
yeah,
a full
full guard.
Costume on.
Yeah.
You know, with like a wig and, you know, the outfit and some makeup. But everyone else had like a part of that, but not the full thing. Yeah. So.
Well, like Sandro here, like I'm looking at a picture of him. He had eyeliner on and he had wings. But he took off the wings, obviously,
because
he's got to cook. And then Dawn, like you said, it was a Dia de los Muertos, you know,
headband. Yeah, it was a flower and skull headband.
Yeah.
That was kind of it.
Yeah. So that's why I felt like it wasn't as festive as the U.S. But then again,
well,
you know, if they had little kids running around in, like, Superman, Spider-Man, Batman costumes, that's that would be the U.S.
There's a channel I watch of someone who lives in London and just kind of does vlogs and stuff. And she's done a couple Halloween vlogs. And, you know, they do, like, the candy and little decorations and things like that. But it's definitely, like, a kid. Yeah. I think it's, like, a kid-centric thing over there. Right. Whereas over here in the U.S., I would say that, yeah, it's definitely, like, a thing for kids, but there's like Halloween parties, there's
haunted houses,
it's
there's corn mazes, pumpkin patches.
It's not like as big as Christmas and Easter is over there.
Yeah.
So
they're not like, ooh, black cats, like Biscuit. He's right behind me. He's running around. He's going crazy. But anyway. But no, I mean, Halloween week, I was kind of excited just because we've had, like I said, some gothy people on this show, but they're, you know, not really this season is it really gothy. So I was kind of like, what are these people going to pull out? And so we head to our nerdsandbeyond.com article written by Lynette, knocking it out of the park again. The Great British Baking Show recap, episode 6. They are going to face 3 spooky theme challenges. The first one was the signature, which was an apple cake in 2 hours. They could use any kind of sponge and additional flavors they liked, but the hero flavor had to be apple. And they said that like multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there was any hint that it's like, hey, if you add a bunch of cinnamon or nutmeg or allspice or salt, pepper, sugar, anything, like if you obscure the apple, we are going to decimate you. Like that was kind of the vibe I got from Paul and Prue and Shabira. She made apple sponges containing green and pink apples, layered with chili.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I haven't either. And she said sour plum cream cheese and an apple crumble. And so I was afraid for her. Her cake was decorated to look like a witch. Judge Paul Hollywood wasn't too impressed with her decoration because it was a bit messy. But her cake was light and beautiful, so he liked it. But basically she managed to redeem herself from the critique of not bringing the flavor, right? And it earned her a Hollywood handshake.
Yep.
I can only imagine the fuming anger that Sandro had as he saw that handshake. He had to have been like, Paul,
I need another one.
Yeah. You think this is a game, Paul? Do you really think that you want to test me right now? And Shabir is like, I'm just trying to be successful. And Sandra's like, this isn't about you.
I don't think any of this happened.
I think deep down, Sandra, I think that's when the wings came off.
Mm.
He's like, we'll see how this is going to end. Like,
right.
Yeah. Maxie, she also earned herself a handshake with her traditional apple and walnut cake. Her spiced apple and walnut sponges were sandwiched with cream cheese frosting and an apple sauce. It was topped with salted caramel, yum, apple strips, amen, and walnuts.
So yeah, it looked and sounds really good.
Her cake was very good, and the judges loved her apple flavor. They also loved the texture of her cake, with the walnut adding a nice crunch. Yes. And see, I'm looking at a picture here on the article. The hair, I mean, Bride of Frankenstein-esque type of thing, but it's just down, like her hair's down.
Yeah.
But yeah, her cake, to me, whenever I saw it, not only is it traditional looking, but it definitely looked like the most homemade, really.
Mm.
Whenever I looked at it, I thought, yeah, that's something you might see at like a church Halloween party type thing for that season.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're trying to feed a bunch of people, like this would be something you might see. But killed it. Just did a good job. Dawn made a Ukrainian Charlotka cake, which is a very light, fat-free whisked sponge. Her cake contains sliced green apple and was topped with mini toffee apples. I thought this was going to be a hit. It was soaked in blood orange juice.
I love blood orange.
Blood orange juice. Due to her cake being so light, the weight of the decoration sunk her cake in the middle. The judges also could not taste the apple, which had mostly sunk to the bottom of the cake. They liked the toffee apples, but they thought they made the flavor of the rest of the cake seem dull. Yeah, they didn't like that. Kevin made a streusel cake. His sponges contained Braeburn apple and bourbon drizzle. Sandro, he had a skull with, what was it, the Fireball whiskey in it. Prue was very like, oh, you think I always enjoy booze? Well, I'll put more booze on there. And they loved that. They thought it was great. But, yeah, basically with 5 minutes left, his cakes, Kevin, it was still too warm, so it melted down the sides. Judges loving the combination of the apple and almond. However, they seemed to think it was a little more like a pudding than a cake. So too much moisture, right? But yeah, that was, the out of the first ones, what do you think your favorite was? Was it Maxie?
Yeah.
Yeah, Maxie's was the...
Like I said, it looked the best, and it sounds like it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I really thought that Shabira's sounded like it could be amazing or it could be a complete flop because of the chili.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she got the handshake, I thought, oh, man, I bet that would be really good. But at the same time, there was nothing about it that made me think apple cake.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird. I don't know why. The technical challenge, now, before Kaylee jumps out of her seat and starts attacking the microphone and everything else, yeah, the technical challenge, I got to take a moment. I'm sorry, everyone. The bakers were asked... They were
just get it out.
I'm sorry. To make 8 s'mores using a recipe that they had never seen before. A recipe they had never seen before for s'mores. They had 2 hours to make digestive biscuits, toasted marshmallows, and a dark chocolate ganache. This was the dumbest technical challenge I've ever seen. This was so... I understand they had to make their own marshmallow. They had to make their own chocolate. The digestive biscuits were... Digestives are not graham crackers, I don't think.
Well,
so it's like...
I was saying earlier, I don't think graham crackers are really a thing.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, U.S., maybe North America... And, you know, I'm just thinking about it now. I don't know why I'm thinking about it now and not earlier. Who thinks s'mores are
Halloween.
A Halloween thing?
Yeah.
At least where we live, it's like a summer thing.
It's camping.
Like 4th of July, camping, right. Going to the beach with bonfire. It's like a summertime thing. Yeah. And... For it to be paired up with Halloween is just kind of odd to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't like, I don't like this.
They were cylindrical columns, so it wasn't even square digestive.
They were so fat.
Yeah, yes. S'mores. Yeah, the marshmallows.
They
were
looked
huge.
Like huge ice cream sandwiches.
Right. Yeah. And it,
like yeah. The marshmallow was just thick, yeah. And it's like marshmallows should not be that big.
Yeah.
And the ganache that hardens.
Right.
And part of the fun of s'mores is the melty, gooey chocolate. Right. Milk chocolate, by the way. If you want to be fancy, you can do dark chocolate, and I'm sure it's still good. But it's usually milk chocolate that goes in s'mores. And then, having like a round cookie, I don't know. I think because the chocolate bar is square.
Yeah.
Then that's why we use a graham cracker. So that's just what makes sense to me. But, I don't know.
The digestive is the only thing that is baked.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Right. And then on top of that.
Yeah.
Marshmallows for s'mores. One of the key things is that it is a super warm marshmallow that melts the chocolate, and it's like this messy good treat.
I just hit the microphone with my chin. They didn't even they used a torch to like heat it up, and that's just not enough.
It's not.
To, like, make it more gooey on the inside.
Right.
It's just, I'm not saying the U.S. is better, but...
Oh, the U.S.
Maybe when it comes to s'mores. Right.
When it comes to s'mores, the U.S. Like, and that's the thing that I think of, like, a technical challenge. They talk about the gelatin with the marshmallow, and it's like... None of that has to do with baking. This is the Great British Baking Show. So it's like the digestives were the only thing. And then on top of that, it's like, maybe the British have like way different whatever standards of s'mores. But like the whole point of a s'more in the U.S. is that literally a 4-year-old can make these. Like, that is the whole point, is you put marshmallow on a stick, you let it catch on fire if you really like it toasty, or you just hold it over a flame or whatever, and it's gooey, melty, it's messy, or you can make it clean if you just use small marshmallow, you know.
I think we should move on.
I don't think
so. And just
I think this
talk
is
about what
this is. But anyways, Abdul, his marshmallow and the technical was a disaster because he used the torch too much.
Yeah. It was like liquid almost.
It was already soft. So it was like, ugh. Yeah. And Shabira came in first place.
Yeah.
Good for her. Her digestive biscuits were nice and identical. The color on the marshmallow was perfect and all her textures were correct. So, yeah. Even though this... By all American standards, I should say, it's a s'more, but it's like a weak s'more. This is like...
Like I said, it looks like an ice cream sandwich.
It does. This is like, I don't know.
I don't think you would look at this photo and be like, that's a s'more.
Right.
Like, it looks like an ice cream sandwich.
It does.
Because it's round. And s'mores are square.
And the thing is like... Yeah, everything about it, man. It is just not, it's not an American traditional s'more. And there's nothing Halloween about it.
Well, that's why it's the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
It's not our thing. So.
Yeah. Gosh.
Anyway.
No. My kitty cat's behind me. I like looking at him. Anyways. Oh. There's two kitty cats. Yeah. Anyways, the showstopper was a lantern, which I did not know at first. I was like, what are they making? And Kaylee's like, a lantern. I'm like, why are they doing that? And it's like, it's a Halloween-themed hanging lantern. So it had to hang and be like a baked pinata, basically.
Yeah.
The judges had to be able to smash it open for it to have at least two varieties of sweet treats inside. This was a very difficult challenge, as the lantern had to be stable enough to hang, but fragile enough to break open.
Mm-hmm.
The bakers also had to carefully manage their time to bake the lantern, the treats, and to decorate them all. No baker aced this challenge, as everyone received mixed feedback, but the judges certainly had fun smashing them all. Sandro's kind of looked the coolest with the skulls. Yeah. It looked like a skull disco ball kind of thing.
It was like a cauldron of skulls. Yeah,
pretty cool. One of the big favorite was Shabira. Because she made a big spider looking thing and it had lights on the inside. She texturized it to make it look fuzzy and
I don't want to talk about it.
Even Kaylee looked at it and was like, spiders.
That's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. Even if it's like a cartoon,
I know.
You know, looking spider. I'm like, no. Nope. And the texture thing when they started, you know,
crunching it. Yeah.
Like making the lines on.
Yeah.
Nope. I hate it.
Yep. But yeah, Sandro stood out in the challenge as he was the only baker that did not make a biscuit lantern. He instead made a sphere out of chocolate, decorated in skulls.
My kind of lantern.
Yeah. All his treats were a little large to fit inside, so we had to have them outside it, and he broke some in half. His Florentines were like rocks, but they tasted okay. It's just the texture was rocky, you know? Fudge cookies were far too strong with chili, so it was like a prank that Sandro pulled. I'm guessing because he didn't get a handshake in the signature bake challenge.
Yeah.
I think he was like, hey, you think it's funny to give a handshake twice?
Screw you.
Yeah, here you go. But yeah, Janus, he also stood out for his very original idea. He made a lantern from an almond sable biscuit decorated like a popcorn box, topped with white chocolate popcorn. His treats inside were based around trick-or-treat theme, as they looked the same, but you would not know which one you had picked up. The treat truffle was pumpkin spice flavor, and the trick truffle was pistachio and white chocolate, and it contained cricket powder and a whole smoked cricket. The judges liked it a lot, but thought the cricket one was way too sweet, that he should have, like, left in most of the cricket flour, cricket stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin made a spider lantern from orange and five spice sugar cookie. His was a disaster.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah. It says his peanut sweets had no distinctive flavor, and Paul said they looked unfinished with nuts hanging out, which caused everyone else to crack up laughing, whilst Paul took a few seconds to realize what he said. The judges thought all his elements lacked something. Dawn made a black cat lantern, which I thought the looks of the black cat was really good.
It was cute.
It was cute. And
but she had a really tough time.
Oh, she did. And apparently, like, none of her stuff had flavor. Like,
I know.
Yeah, biscuit
lacked flavor. Paul said it was basic.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's offensive.
Yeah.
That hurts deep.
Yeah, the jelly eyes looked good, but didn't taste of much. The jelly eyes looked legit.
They looked really cool. They looked
cool, yeah. The judges just thought the whole bake was too simple in concept and flavor, which hurts.
That does hurt.
The results this week, Shabira won Star Baker. She did consistently well across all three challenges, and so did not have much competition for the title, which they talked about. They said, yeah, Shabira's like miles ahead.
Yeah, I don't know the last time that's happened or if that has even happened.
Giuseppe, maybe. That's the only one that I
can think of. Are you just making that up? Because you like Giuseppe?
I love Giuseppe. Yeah, there was one episode where he won each one of the challenges. Like, yeah.
Oh, well.
Pretty sure.
I don't know. I don't remember things well.
It's okay. I don't either. That's why I read from nerdsandbeyond.com with Lynette doing the recaps here. It was lovely that she finally won the title after being close so many times, which is true. She's been pretty steady this whole competition, Shabira has. But somebody had to be eliminated. Somebody had to have the dun, 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 Halloween spooky, you know, that whole lightning strike. It was Dawn.
Yeah, I kind of knew it this whole time.
Yeah, Dawn was eliminated due to struggling in all three challenges. Kevin also struggled, but Dawn's lack of ambition and the Showstopper challenge, which... Boo. I liked the cat. What was wrong with the cat? They're like, it's basic.
It was what? It was just unfinished. Yeah. Or not.
It wasn't polished.
Yeah. And it it was unfortunate.
It was. Yeah. And we've got our cats. They're upset.
He's eating my plant.
Oh no.
He needs to stop.
Yeah. Uh oh.
Go. Stop rubbing on it. Damn it.
Uh-oh. We got cat on human crime here. Yeah. Oh, no.
If vandalism. Anything, he's hurting me. Vandalism. He just clawed my finger.
See? Oh, man.
Stop.
Ugh. Oh, my gosh. Biscuit. You cut it out. Benny's like, yeah, I'm such a good boy.
Yeah, look at I'm me. In the corner licking myself. Yeah.
But no, the baking show best bits from Lynette here. The bakers all dressed up for the spooky season, and Janus dressed as Noel.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, he's wearing a sweater, and he had, the eyeliner.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Because I was like, you can't just put on eyeliner in a, dark sweater and be like, this is my costume.
Right.
But now it makes sense.
He was Noel. And then Sandro was struggling to cut a hole in the top of his chocolate sphere and asked for power tools. He was provided with a drill and goggles, which seemed massively out of place in a baking show.
I'm a little disappointed she didn't bring this up, but my favorite part of this whole episode, Noel came up and was like, hey, what are you doing? And, Sandro's just using the using the tools. And Noel's like, I don't know if I should be afraid or turned on. I was like, yes, this is hilarious.
Oh, man. Oh, our sons. They're about to go at it, I think. It's Halloween spooky time.
I can't deal with this at this moment.
Oh, no. Oh, see? Yep, here it goes. The final countdown. Da-da-da-da. See, there they go. Oh, I tell you, they're so dumb. But anyways, and then the last one here, the large group hug that the bakers gave Dawn to bid her goodbye. Lovely to show how much the bakers bond throughout the competition and the judges and everything. Like, they all get very close, unlike our sons.
Yeah, that are fighting.
Who are wrestling right now.
Not again.
On the bed. Oh, my gosh. Our sons, they are just...
Guys,
don't know how to put
stop.
It. I don't know how to put it.
Get in the Halloween spirit and be peaceful.
Don't be so spooky, scary. I don't know how that song goes, actually.
I don't know either.
I'm sorry. But next week in the tent, it's custard week. So that should be actually interesting. Custards you have to bake. So, that'll be good. I make these jokes. I love the Great British Baking Show. It is really great. Obviously, Kaylee's dad, Nathan, loves it as well.
Mm-hmm. Your parents love
it. My parents love it. And it's just sad to see that they don't want to... They're trying to incorporate new things, but it just seems like some of it is unintentionally just weird. Kind of like having cats fight on your podcast in the background of your video. Like, what are they doing back there? I tell you. But, it's just unneeded. Like, the s'mores. I didn't understand. Like, why not make a candy bar? You have to bake, like, a Twix, right? Mm-hmm. You have to bake the cookie, and then you do a chocolate. Like, why not do... Or a Snickers? I don't know. Like, just something that is... Yeah. But
it was like a weird fall.
Yeah.
/ Halloween kind of thing. Oh. And it's like
pumpkin anything. Yeah. Pumpkin bread.
Yeah.
Pumpkin pie. Oh my gosh. There's so many options for Halloween week.
Well, and my thing is, I think they pick recipes that maybe Paul and Prue have made.
Yeah.
Like in their cookbooks or whatever. I don't know if Prue has cookbooks, but I know Paul has a bunch.
Yeah.
And so maybe they confine it to those. And they're like, oh, s'mores kind of works.
Right. Yeah.
Tacos works. And it's like, well, that's not really, you know, it's not like making lemon bars or tiramisu. Like, so I don't know.
I don't know.
But maybe they'll change it up next week.
Yeah. I mean, heck, if you even wanted to make it fun and boozy jello shots. I don't know. Like, do some crazy stuff. I don't know.
That's not baking at all.
Well, no, not the... I'm saying as, like, a side thing. Like, they had to make the lantern. It's like, oh, you have to make a fall or spooky-themed jello shot. Like, you know, whatever. Like, I don't care. Just make it good.
Okay.
You know?
I think we've said everything we need to say.
Maybe.
So.
I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, Custard Week, I am looking forward to it. I'm hoping that it's going to bring out some of the best in our last six bakers.
Yeah.
We got Sandro. We got Maxie. We got Shabira, Kevin, Abdul, and Janus. Oh, my gosh. My top right now.
You can only pick two.
Yeah. I'm doing Shabira and Janus. Even though I agree with the critique on Janus that all of his cakes have that drip icing technique, he's got to stop that. He's got to do something different. But I still like you, Janus. Still like you. Like you a lot. You're great. Anyways, your top two.
One of mine's still Maxie
because
she's still doing really well. And my other one. I'll go Sandro.
Yeah.
So I think he, you know, might struggle here and there, but I think he's, you know, he's still pretty solid.
He has very above and beyond, like, thoughts. Like, the skull thing.
He does really well with the creativity part of it, so that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now for the hard part. Who do you think is going to go home next?
I mean, it's hard to tell because, you know, everything's week by week.
Yeah.
But I guess just based on this week.
Yeah.
I would, what?
Just based on this week.
Well, yeah, because that's all I have to go off of. You know, either Kevin or Abdul.
I think it's going to be Abdul.
I
really do. I don't know why. This might be a cultural thing. I would think that Kevin would have a lot more experience with custards and things like that. But then again, like, yeah, definitely the bottom two are Kevin and Abdul. That seems to be kind of the thing. Because the other four, Janu, Sandro, Maxie, and Shabira, they've been killing it so far.
Right.
They've been doing really, really well. And so that's kind of who I think is going to go next. If any of the four I just said go home in Custard Week, yeah, next time we turn on the podcast, my jaw will be somehow on the floor. My cats will be fighting over it. I will be shocked if it's one of those four. It's like Janus accidentally dropped a knife in his cake and he's been disqualified. I'm like, how did this happen? Yeah, no, I do want to know. I'm going to look it up. I'm guessing there is, but there's got to be Vegas lines on this, right? Like betting, like sports betting type stuff. There's got to be.
I don't think so.
Oh, there's got to be. Because
I don't think they win money.
No, I'm saying.
So why should people be able to win money?
It's the U.S. It's the U.S.
I don't think enough people care.
Hold on. Actually, this is the last part of the episode.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on.
Guys, I try to corral him in, but he has ADHD and I can't stop that.
Great British Baking Show. Hold on. It's betting. Oh, show odds. Betting odds, OLBG. What's this? Hold on a second. Oh, Shabira is 6-4. Oh, yeah, betting odds. James and Maxie remain joint bookmakers' favorites to win this year's series ahead of tonight's opener.
One of them's gone, so...
Yeah. So James is 100-30 odds. Maxie is 100-30 odds. Sandro, 5-1. Janus is 13-2. That's a good bet.
I'm sorry. Take. I don't understand any of this.
I don't blame you, because you've never made a bet. But...
I wasn't really ever good at fractions either, so this doesn't...
Whoa. Yeah, Dawn is the favorite to be the first baker eliminated from the show. And she wasn't.
Ouch. Yeah. How could they do her wrong?
Yeah, the sports betting community. Yeah, people are betting on this, left and right. I knew it. Okay. Gamblers are just so easy to tell. If you have a gambling problem, please seek help. Don't, you know. But anyway, everybody, we will see you next week on 3-2-1 Bake Off when we talk about custard. I thank my lovely wife, Kaylee, for joining me and trying to corral me, but I'm just a little booger. I'm a little stinker.
There's a fine line.
I know.
Yeah. But thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's always fun to watch and see what other people think.
And again, check us out on all the socials, YouTube. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter on culinaryconvo.com.
It's really cute. Yeah, I love it. It's got
Pinterest recipes.
The Pinterest recipes are really cool, honestly.
Yeah.
I love clicking on them, and then you can, you know, because a lot of the time you'll see something on here, you're like, I'd love to make that, or how do you make that? And then Devin has found something similar.
Yeah. Plus, you'll get to see what the Thursday episode will be for the week.
Yeah.
And you'll get the Thursday episode recipes as well. Just this last week, we had Mississippi, and I'm telling you, in the top five best states of food, period. Plus you got to figure out the history of Barq's root beer, and you got to look at the next state we're going to visit. So it gets you all the background stuff you want to know about for Culinary Convo, you know?
Yeah.
And so check that out. And then the final disclaimer, our boys love each other. They sleep next to each other all the time. For whatever reason, the cameras, the lights come on, and they think
have to put on a show.
Yeah, they're just like,
we're like, just go to sleep, and they're like, this is our calling.
Yeah. Biscuit immediately is like, I'm gonna bite some plants.
What's it called? World Star Hip Hop?
Yeah. I'm telling you, they do. They get crazy back there.
That's what they think this is, but
they do.
They just need to love and be in peace and harmony.
I just don't want to be on TMZ. That's my big thing. I don't want to be on TMZ where both my cats are fighting in the background and they're like, how could this father let his two sons? Like, they're cats. They're just, I don't know. And so, yeah. But, you know, like I said, everybody sign up for the newsletter. Go to culinaryconvo.com. Check us out on YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get it. And please contribute to the podcast at anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support, where if you're a monthly subscriber, you're going to get cool stuff eventually. We just got to get more like stuff in. And when I say stuff, I mean money. We need money. Thank you. But we will see everybody next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Everybody, goodbye. We'll see you next time on the Bake Off. Hopefully Janus gets it home. We hope Kevin gets it home. Maybe I do.
That's so mean.
Be correct. Not really, James. You're a great person.
James. Yeah, he's gone. That's Kevin.
No, that's Kevin.
Goodbye.
I gotta leave. This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.